What I'd like to do this morning is to have a look at some of the teaching of the Lord Jesus and turn to Matthew chapter 7. And what we find here is that Matthew, in the first gospel there in the New Testament, he records for us, you know, as the other gospels do too, some of the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And from chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, we've got a whole section of the teaching of Jesus that we've sometimes called it the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the only reason we call it that is at the beginning of chapter 5, Matthew tells us, "Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up unto a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." So, really, the Lord Jesus was sitting probably on a hillside, using it like a kind of amphitheatre. People, his disciples, and then others were all sitting around him, and he started to teach them. And I'm sure that the teaching that Matthew records here is teaching that he gave on a number of different occasions to a number of different crowds with his disciples around. And what I find is that when I read through the teaching of Jesus, I just find it so, I don't know, so simple and yet so utterly profound and so radical that it's astounding, some of what he teaches. And of course, down through the years, people have been impressed, and some people have said, yes, he was a very good man, and look at some of his teaching. But of course, Matthew wants to tell us that he was more than just a good man. He was God's son. He was deity incarnate. And then as we listen to his teaching, it's amazing, profound, yet simple, and resonating, and at the same time with authority. And so we find towards the end of this Sermon on the Mount, towards the end of chapter 7, we find that Jesus is talking quite a bit about making the right choice, in life. And in verse 12 of chapter 7, there's this famous verse, and this is what Jesus says. He says, "So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. For this sums up the whole of the law and the prophets and everything that has gone before." And when we think about that, it really is quite radical. And it's proactive. It's not just, whatever people do to you, you do to them. It's no, it turns it around. And it's so, in everything, do to other people what you'd have them do to you. That's radical. That's hard. And then he goes on in chapter 7 of Matthew, and he talks about a narrow gate and a wide gate. And this is what he says. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the wide for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." And he's really talking about his teaching, and he's talking about those who really ignore his teaching, and they're streaming through the broad gate. And there's almost a sense of congestion, and they're going, choosing this road, and this big, wide, easy road. Or, he says, there's the narrow gate, and that's a much quieter road, maybe more difficult road, but that road leads to eternal life. And he's talking about his teaching, who imbibes and follows and embraces his teaching. And then he goes on from verses 15 to 20 of chapter 7, and he talks about a tree that can be recognised by the type of fruit it bears. And, he's saying, well, you know, you can tell a tree by its fruit. And of course, it's important what kind of fruit we bear in life. And he says, he then goes on and he gives a serious warning in verses 21 to 23. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away with you.'" And so, you know, not everyone who claims to be a follower or a believer in Jesus actually is. That's quite hard teaching. And then right at the end of this section, Jesus tells a parable. And it's all about foundations and about making choices. And this is a very, very well-known parable about two builders, about one building on sand and about another building on rock. And it's just so striking in its simplicity, and yet at the same time, it's profound. And I was just thinking, you know, as I was thinking about this parable, and we're going to read it in a moment or two, but, you know, throughout the last few years, in the UK, and in Europe, and in North America, we've been going through this thing that has been called the credit crunch, where it's been a very, very hard few years. And actually, I was reading yesterday in The Guardian that there's a threat not only of a double dip recession, but very possibly what they're calling a triple dip recession. And of course, we can see the effects of all of this in our society. And remember, just a year or two ago, there were these household names: Royal Bank of Scotland, Halifax Bank of Scotland, Lloyds DSB, and these banks, these institutions, were sort of brought to their knees economically. In fact, the first one to go was ironically called Northern Rock. Maybe it should have been called Northern Sand. And there it was, and we saw pictures, you know, images on our TV screens of people lining the pavements outside these branches, afraid that their savings were going to be lost, and trying to get in there and get as much out as they could. And you know, without a bailout from our taxes, there was going to be a wholesale collapse of our economy. And of course, all this kind of thing produces a sense of instability, of a lack of trust and uncertainty, where the solid ground is suddenly no longer solid anymore. I remember once as a boy, I was out for a walk in the countryside, and actually I was crossing over this area where there had been some building work and things like that, and I hadn't realised it, but there was a whole area that was completely waterlogged, and I kind of walked into this and started to sink. I've never been so terrified in all my life. Now, thankfully, it didn't go down too deeply and I was able to pull myself out, but ground that you think is solid suddenly isn't solid anymore, and it's quite a frightening experience. So it's likely that some of us here have been affected in some way by what's been happening globally. And of course, there are many people who have been affected drastically. Redundancy, particularly across the construction sector and so on, even the service industries being hit, and transport and so on. And what's very sad is that ordinary people, you know, working as tellers and so on in banks, they often face the brunt of the public's wrath, when in fact it's nothing to do with them at all, but with these folks, these bankers higher up. In fact, in our fellowship, we've got a chap who works with one of the big banks. He says to me now, he says, "You know, Derek, I never tell anyone I'm a banker." He says, "I just say I work in finance and hope they never ask any more questions." But, you know, so we've got that. But then also over the last year or two, we've seen some awful earthquakes and floodings. And you remember way back Haiti and Chile and other places, and of course that tsunami that came to Japan last year, and and what it did to the safe nuclear power station and so on. And I remember in Istanbul, it was actually the 1st of August 1999, and there was a massive earthquake just outside Istanbul. I actually wasn't in Istanbul at the time. I was in Izmir with a group of people, and in the morning we went down for breakfast and we had a look at the television screens and we thought, has there been a war somewhere? Has such devastation? And actually we realised that it was just outside Istanbul, and there had been this 7.8, I think it was, massive earthquake. And then they still don't know how many people perished, but they reckon it was around about 30,000 people who died in that earthquake. And for years and years afterwards, they were talking about it, and they had all the experts on television, and they looked at other countries where there was similar size of earthquakes, but because they had been prepared and the foundations were strong, hardly anyone died, and not that much damage done. But here in Turkey, where you stick in more sand into the cement than you should, and of course not using the reinforcing rods that you should because you cut corners and so on. And then of course the earthquake comes along, and things are just devastation. And they were saying, how important it is to have good, strong foundations. And just last year, on the outskirts of Istanbul, the pressure on the city is so great. People are moving in from the country all the time. Pressure on housing. The developers are beginning to, for a while now, they've been building on floodplains and on dry riverbeds that have never seen water for 20 years. And what happened last year? They had the highest rainfall last January that they have seen for 40 or 50 years. The water started to come flooding down from the mountains and found its way along all these old riverbeds and these newly constructed, not all that well constructed, houses and so on were just swept away. And then there was panic because these torrential winter floods did enormous amounts of damage, and foundations collapsed, houses fell. And again there was disaster, and again the television programs had the experts all around talking about the necessity to have good foundations for building. Warnings were given again, but not all that lot later, they were just kind of ignored again. And of course all of this is to do with foundations. And in the area that we lived in Istanbul, we lived on the outskirts of Istanbul, quite high up, in an area quite high up. And after the 1999 earthquake, we found that, in nearly all of the streets around the area we lived, there were empty lots, empty parts, parcels of ground. And developers were coming and buying all these up, all these empty areas up, and building flats, because they knew that where we were high up, it was actually built on rock. And in our street, this developer came, he bought this plot of ground just down from where our apartment was, and he built this big block of flats. And then next to it, when he'd finished building, he got one of his excavators to dig a metre or two down and expose the rock that the building was built on. And he put up a big notice: flats for sale built on rock. And it wasn't long before he sold a lot of them, as people from other low-lying areas of Istanbul near the Marmara Sea were coming, shifting over to higher and more secure places. So, what foundation are we building our lives on? Is it secure? Is it trustworthy? Will it withstand the storms of life? Because, you know, we know that life can throw up all kinds of things. I mean, things like bereavement and unemployment or illness or the dreaded C word, cancer, or loneliness, or the dreaded D word that so few of us really understand when our friends have it, depression, or broken dreams. You know how we kind of thought that our life would turn out different to how it's turned out, and we had ideas and we had hopes and we had dreams, and some of our other things sort of went away. We didn't think they would ever go, and these dreams that we had, some of them have remained unfulfilled, and others of these dreams we feel have been stolen from us, maybe by circumstance or by wrong choices or by other people. And so what kind of foundation is our life being built on? Do we have a foundation that will stand through all that life might throw at us? And so Jesus told this story, this parable, about foundations. And he'd been teaching his disciples, and he was teaching the crowds that would gather around. And this is how he summarized his teaching. Right at the very end of this section, he says, basically, there are two groups of people. And we say, oh, that's a bit black and white. And, you know, we don't like things to be black and white these days. We live in a very complicated world and so on. And, oh, nothing's black and white. Everything's got shades of grey and so on. But Jesus is quite black and white. And he says, there are basically two groups of people. And he's talking to people who are sitting round listening to his teaching. And he says, the first group of people is like this. Those that hear his word and receive it and do it and put it into practice and allow his teaching to shape their lives and their values. That's one group. And the other group are those that hear his teachings and, well, that's it really. They just hear his teachings. But his teachings are not accepted. They're not imbibed. They're not acted on. They make no difference to their lives. And so the Lord Jesus says, these are the two types of people there are. And so he illustrated this by telling a parable about two builders. And you know, it's interesting because sometimes when we come to some parts of the Bible, I don't know when last I heard in an adult service like this someone teaching on the good and the bad builder. And often we reserve some of these parables and stories for the children. And they make wonderful children's stories and tremendous teaching for children. But actually, that's great and we should do that. But this is not aimed at children. Jesus was talking to adult people. And so he talks about these two builders. And this is what he says. Now bear in mind, he's just given a whole lot of teaching. And this is what he says at the end. He says, therefore, and it's, if you're following it, if you have a Bible, it's from verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. And this is what Jesus says. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man, a wise person who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish person who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose up, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And I remember, as a wee boy in Stenhouse Muir, going to a little children's club in our church, and I remember we had a chorus that we would sing about that. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing that to you this morning, but at the very end, the sort of line went, and the house on the sand fell flat, and we'd all stamp our feet, and, you know, and this is the house collapsing. But that's what Jesus said. And so what he was saying was, he said, just imagine, he says, those who listen to my teaching and accept it and make it a part of their lives, and who accept me and follow me, these people are like a wise builder. And that builder, he goes out and he looks carefully at the ground, and he sees there's ground there with good foundation, and probably it will take quite a bit to clear the site and to get it ready, but the foundation's there. And so he builds a house on strong foundations. And then, of course, the bad winters come, and the waters rise, and the rivers swell, and the wind and the rain and the elements of nature are battering against that house. And when the spring comes, the house is still standing there firm, because it's built on solid foundations. And then he says, but you know, there are others who go out like a foolish builder, and they see a piece of ground, and maybe it's a bit cheaper, and it's nice and flat. Don't bother too much about the foundations. Maybe don't pay too much money for it. And don't need to clear it away too much, because it's nice and flat. And then they build a lovely house. And then, of course, the winds come along. The winds, you know, of whatever life brings along. And the snow and the rain and the wind, and it batters against their house during the winter time. And, of course, because there is no foundation, the whole edifice collapses. It says, those who hear my teaching but reject it, that's what their lives will be like. But those who hear my teaching and accept it, their lives will be like being built on a rock. He even referred to himself as a rock, the rock Christ Jesus. And so, as he taught this parable, and when he finished teaching this parable, this is what the people says from verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not like, well, it said the teachers of the law. That's some of the religious teachers around in Jesus' day, who had all kinds of laws and rules and regulations and so on, and nothing of reality that reflected the very nature of God himself. And they said, this man, he's not like some of these religious teachers that don't seem to have anything to say other than scold us. This man, when he teaches, it resonates with authority. Well, why is that? Well, because, of course, he wasn't like the official religious teachers. Here was a man who was different, because the person who was teaching them was none other than the Son of God himself, the one who would eventually go to the cross and die for your sin and for mine, and the one whom God would raise again from the dead on the third day. And that's why we celebrate Easter. And so this is not just, it is a nice, interesting parable, but it's much more than that. It's a direct challenge to all of us. What foundations are we building our lives on? Is our foundation secure? Is it trustworthy? And again, Jesus said in another place, he says, when the disciples were asking him about, you know, he was saying he was going back to heaven, back to his Father. And they said, well, how can we get there? And he says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, and today in our sort of pluralistic society, that sounds awful, sort of black and white, doesn't it? People are often offended by that. But that's what the Lord Jesus says, that the way to the Father is through believing in him, believing in Jesus. So what kind of builder are we? Are we building our life's foundation on something that could collapse? Or are we wise, building our lives on the foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ? And his teaching will ensure a solid foundation to our lives. And hearing, learning, obeying his teaching will undergird our lives now. And of course, give real hope for the future. And so hearing and obeying his teaching will lead us to live a life that will be pleasing to God. And so the challenge comes to us. What kind of builder are we? How solid is the foundation on which we are building our lives?